We are in a series, Exalt, Edify, and Evangelize. By now you know that this is our mission statement, Exalt, Edify, and Evangelize. We had two sermons on Exalt, and we had one sermon on Edify, and I'm going to start today Evangelize, and we will finish next week with this series with a communion. This is so easy to remember. Someone said, you should be able to remember the mission statement. It should be so brief that you should be able to remember any time. Ours is very easy to remember. You just remember three E's. Three E, exalt the triune God, and edify one another by our words and primarily through the word of God, and evangelize. That is the word we are going to look at today. If I'm correct, evangelism or the word evangelize is most misunderstood and most misused word in Christendom. People ask, where are you going? I'm going for evangelism. And you ask some churches, what is the heartbeat of your church? They say, evangelism. A lot of people have some idea of evangelism, but when you ask them, they are not able to articulate it. So that is our exercise today. It is not just an exercise. As we talk about it, my prayer is this, that we will really understand the content of my preaching today. So I will be looking at several Bible verses here and there and flipping through. So you may have a question why I'm not speaking from one passage. Some of us are so used to it. Sometimes we speak from one passage. Sometimes we may have to just go through different places. So we have room for all of them. There is a place for expository preaching. There is a room for textual preaching. There is also room for topical preaching. And, when we say this is what we mean in the mission statement, we should really understand when we say evangelize. It is not like what we have in our mind, but it should really clear some of the thoughts. So you may ask the question, what does it mean to evangelize? What does it mean to evangelize? To evangelize is to tell others what God offers to them through Jesus Christ in such a way that they will respond in one way or other. To evangelize is to tell others. So evangelism is not being passive, but evangelism is to tell, to declare, to announce. That means our active communication is involved. So to evangelize is to tell others. Who are these others? Some people call them lost. Lost not in a negative sense, lost in the sense they are lost from the crowd here, lost from God, or those who do not have a relationship with God. So when we use the word to evangelize is to tell those who do not have a relationship with God in such a way that they will respond in one way or other. Yesterday, I was talking to an insurance agent. Before he came, he had two sheets. He knew very well what he was going to tell me. So he had the sheets with me, and he just presented his case very well, an Indian guy. And he left the answer to me. I could have answered in three different ways. Yes, no, or I will let you know later. I think that is the response we should evoke when we evangelize or when we announce to other people. They should say yes or no or let me think about it. These are the three answers they can give. So we will just talk about evangelism once again. To evangelize is to tell or to declare to others what God offers to them through Jesus Christ in such a way that they will respond in one way or other. So, we have to really understand, what are we going to tell? What is the content of our declaration? What are we going to announce? we are going to announce the gospel. Another most misunderstood word or ill-articulated word. People say, I believe in the gospel. People say, I'm going to announce the gospel. I'm going to tell the gospel. You ask them, could you please explain the gospel? They just go around and around, but they are not really able to articulate clearly. So evangelism involves three steps. One is the knowledge of the gospel. You know, I told you the insurance agent, he knew very well the policy he was going to sell. He knew that very well. So he didn't, whenever I asked a question, he was able to answer. And he spoke to me in such a way that I was so impressed. He communicated so well, but before that, he knew the content of the message. So evangelism has three steps. Step number one is the knowledge of the gospel. You know, when you ask people, what is the gospel? They give several answers. It's very simple. God offers you a new relationship with Him through Jesus. You know, gospel is very simple. It's God offering to us a new relationship. That means it is not just forgiveness. It is not just salvation from eternal condemnation. It is not just healing. It is not just us going to heaven. I have heard several people saying, you know, what is salvation or what is gospel? Gospel is about going to heaven. It is part of it, but it is not all about it. Some people say gospel is healing. They conduct huge crusades and they just do only healing. They think gospel is healing. It is part of it, but it is not gospel. It is not the full gospel. Some people say it is the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, it is forgiveness of sins, but it is not the full gospel. Some people say you get salvation from eternal condemnation. It's true, but it is not it. In essence, gospel is God offering you and me a new relationship with Him. An amazing thing. It is not only for the future, but it is for the present. Gospel, a lot of time people say, it is for the future. About a few years back, we used to have outreach to UTS students in Arlington on Thursday evening. And one of my friends, who is back in India now, there were several students gathered, and he was given an opportunity. He asked a question. Do you know where you will go if you die? And 5 minutes later, students started leaving from that place because he was given an opportunity. He could not really present the gospel in such a way that they would respond, but he scared them. It's almost like a scare tactic. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. Although gospel contains hell and heaven, much more than that is God offering a new relationship with you and me. That is why we read in John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son to this world, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Jesus came in Mark chapter 1 verse 14. He said, the time has come. It is fulfilled. That means, you know, time people were looking for a new relationship with God. And He said, time has come. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. In Mark 1:14. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus calls 72 of His followers and He sends them to different villages. And He tells them, go and announce the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. He is not sending them to announce that you are going to hell or heaven. He is not going to announce that your sins are going to be forgiven. But He is saying, the time has come that you are going to have a new relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the full gospel starts with God. It doesn't start with me. A lot of time, forgiveness, going to hell or heaven or healing, they're all based on us. And, you know, us and me. But gospel actually starts from God. In this gospel, there are three persons who, work so well. Father sends, Son comes, Holy Spirit enables us to respond. So we need to know the gospel clearly. If someone asks, what are you believing? Or, you know, what is this gospel? We should be able to say that, you know, gospel, by gospel we mean a new relationship, a new era. We read John chapter 1 verse 12 and 13. It says, those who believed in Jesus have the privilege of becoming children of God. It's not a legalism. It is not just do's and don'ts. It is not observation of certain things. It is not giving certain things to God. It is not a kind of unending efforts to please Him, but enter into a new relationship with Him. So in those days, it was a kind of stumbling block to those people. Oh, yes, kingdom of God so cheap. Relationship with God is so cheap. People are so used to following legalism. Observing Sabbath and giving tithes. Observing certain days like full moon day and new moon days. Going from one place to another, they thought entering into the kingdom of God or having a new relationship with God is so difficult. But Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to enter into a new relationship with God, I'm offering you, I'm the way. People could not really believe. But those who believed, according to John 1, 12 and 13, they had the privilege to become children of God. So what is gospel? Gospel is a new relationship. That new relationship is inaugurated or made possible by our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming down to this world and preaching about the kingdom of God, introducing this new way. And as a result of people's rejection, he was crucified on the cross as a sacrifice. But he was buried, but he rose again on the third day. But when you talk about gospel, you have to talk everything. It should start from God. You know, I look at the Shamwah guy. He is an excellent marketer. I don't know if you have seen this one. Slap Chop. Have you seen that? Slap Chop. And this is what he said. To make America skinny again, one slap at a time. And he's amazing. In 4.5 minutes, he is able to sell as many pieces of Slap Chop as possible. And when you look at his commercial for Shamwah, people just buy 2, 3, 4, and he's an excellent communicator. But he knows the stuff so well. You go to the market, you don't buy Slap Chop because you think that it's useless. But after he sells it, and you think, I want it. You want one for cutting vegetables, another one for the nuts, another one for all this cheese, and he is amazing. He says, he just in 4.5 minutes, he sells so many pieces and he's still very popular. You know why? He knows his stuff so well. When he wants to sell it, he first of all knew his product so well. You know, one day I was watching on a Sunday afternoon, grill. I saw this grill, so good. I was just watching and they were just showing again and again. It's all up 8 minutes. And they showed me for 4 or 5 times. And after 4 times, I called those people. I bought it. It is sitting there. But they were able to sell it so well because they knew their stuff so well. And we are not able to use it because we don't know how to use it. They say, you just keep it. I told Alice and kids, from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to make breakfast. but never made breakfast because I don't know how to use it. And if I want to sell it to other people, I don't know how to sell it because, you know, I don't know about the product. But you bring those guys, they're able to sell it so well because they know about the product. It's the same thing with the evangelism is before you go for evangelism, before you talk to other people about the gospel, you should know what the gospel is all about. The gospel is all about God offering everyone, Jews and Greeks, sinners and righteous people, old and young, a new relationship through our Lord Jesus Christ, through His birth, death, and resurrection. So instead of asking them, do you know where you will go after you die? Or instead of telling them your sins will be forgiven, you can ask them, do you want to have a new relationship with God? Everyone. You know, before I became a Christian, I was just doing everything possible to make a relationship with God. I thought I could give my hair to please God or to have a relationship with God. I thought I would walk on the top of a mountain without sandals and I would climb up on the mountain thinking that I would be able to make a relationship with God. But unless God comes down and relates to us, we will never be able to make a relationship with God. And that is what the gospel is. God coming down to this world and making a tabernacle and offering everyone, tax collectors, prostitutes, teachers, rich people, poor people, governors, kings, and Caesars, a new relationship. It's so simple. Gospel is not only for the future after we die, but gospel is present. You know, Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 10, He came to this world to give life. Life in full, not just in pieces, not just for future, but in full. That is the gospel. If you believe today, you can have a wonderful relationship with God. God, instead of shivering before Him, you can actually call Him Abba, Father. And you can just enjoy the warmth of His love. It's not for future, now. So please, you know, think about this gospel message before you go and share it with others. So evangelism has three steps. Step number one is a good knowledge about the gospel. That is why you see Peter on day of Pentecost. Everyone asked, what is this? You guys are just speaking in different languages. Even in the morning, are you all drunk? But he was able to just boldly speak powerfully. And 3,000 people came to know the Lord. He gave them, you know, the gospel so well. And people had to respond. 3,000 people. The following day, 5,000 people. And Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin. 71 people. They were very well educated. They knew the law. They knew everything. But an ordinary man standing before these people, talking about Jesus under heaven, above earth, there is no other name other than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by which people will be saved. You know why? He knew the gospel so well. And, you know, we should know the gospel well. We should not take people for scare tactics. Instead, our gospel understanding or understanding of the gospel should be substantive. Point number two. Know about the gospel and Holy Spirit of God enables this new relationship. You know, a lot of time we think that we just go out and share the gospel. And we are frustrated when people don't respond. You know, the relationship is enabled by the Holy Spirit. We should not be confused with it. I will talk about it a little bit later. The second step in evangelism is communication of the gospel. We should not confuse the method for message. That's what most of the time it's happening. You know, a lot of time we emphasize a method than the message. We go and hand out tracts. Sometimes we invite people over to our house. For 2 years, every Friday we invite people over to our house. We think that they will understand the gospel. It is not. Gospel has to be announced. It has to be told. Because the word gospel comes from a Greek word euangelizo, or I announce good news, I tell good news. It has to be told, and God works through our communication. So first we know the gospel content. Second one, we communicate. When we communicate, we should always know that we should not, or we should be aware that we should not confuse method for message. First one, we should know Holy Spirit is the communicator, although, you know, God uses us. You see, in Acts chapter 2, there is a big revolution of communication. Ordinary people from Galilee came down to Jerusalem. Holy Spirit of God came upon them. They started speaking. They convinced 3,000 people, probably the best marketing ever done in those days. Just within 10-15 minutes, they got 3,000 followers for Jesus Christ. The following day, they announced, because they spoke with the power of the Holy Spirit, and in fact, Holy Spirit spoke through them, 5,000 people became believers. Paul went from Antioch to Asia Minor, from there to the West. People became believers. You know why? Not because they spoke so well, not because they had eloquence, because Holy Spirit spoke through them. The Holy Spirit is the communicator. In Acts chapter 1:8, we read like this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. It is the Holy Spirit who communicates through you. If not, we will be communicating so dry. People will never respond. You know, we should know the gospel. The gospel starts with God offering all of us a new relationship, and that is initiated by the Holy Spirit. When Holy Spirit dwells in us, when we let Him speak, He becomes the communicator. And all these 12 disciples, they were so excited about Jesus' resurrection on the third day. They were so happy. And they said, Lord, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, you don't need to do anything. Go and wait. And you will receive power, power to declare, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. But we, that is the church, becomes the medium of communication. Holy Spirit is the communicator, but we become the medium of communication. You know, as a church, if we are not communicating to the world outside the gospel message that is given to us, probably God, Holy Spirit is not active in us. You know, I have in my statement here, when there is a communication problem, the communicator is somehow stifled. You know, if you may have a big church, you may have 20,000 people. If you are not able to communicate the gospel outside, and you are not letting people to respond yes, no, or we will think about it, probably, you know, we are stifling the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing with the individuals. We may say, I'm gospel-centered, I'm evangelistic, but if I am not able to communicate the gospel like Peter communicated, like Philip communicated, like Paul communicated, we have to wait on the Lord and see, Lord, why is it not happening? Is there a place where I'm stifling the Holy Spirit? Because Holy Spirit, whenever He comes on a group of people, when He dwells among us, the thing is not to make us healthy, not to make us fat, but primarily He goes out, He reaches out. You see in Acts, book of Acts, Holy Spirit taking people from Jerusalem to Samaria, Samaria to uttermost part of the world, and Holy Spirit is involved in world missions and world evangelization. So, in the communication part, there are only two things. One, Holy Spirit is the communicator. The church becomes medium of communication. You and me become Holy Spirit's vehicle to go and speak about our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message. So when we communicate, when we become the medium of communication, we have several things. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 10, we read that the church in Thessalonica, which was a small church, that became a beacon of gospel around the world. People just, you know, came to know about our Lord Jesus Christ within few weeks. And gospel went out everywhere. Even, you know, today we hear about the Thessalonica church through Mother Teresa. You know why? Because Holy Spirit actively working in them. So we can talk about lifestyle evangelism. Or we can talk about friendship evangelism. I have seen several people doing friendship evangelism. Is this? They say, why don't you come for lunch with me? They take you for lunch. They don't communicate the gospel. They say, come and visit us. People come and visit. Unless and until communication is taking place, probably they're coming to know the Lord. The chances of them coming to know the Lord is not there. They love you. They enjoy eating food with you. They have the relationship with you. But they don't respond because you are not communicating. Yeah, so when you become the medium of communication, you should communicate. You can follow several things. You can adapt lifestyle evangelism. You can adapt friendship evangelism. You can be missional. You know, these days, missional is becoming very popular. You know, they say, we want to just carry the Great Commission in our community. You know, they say missional families, missional groups, missional home groups, missional church. What they mean is they are looking for an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission, to declare about our Lord Jesus Christ and making them disciples. But prior to that, there has to be a communication, clear communication of the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, I'm going around preaching the gospel. Basically, he's saying, hey, God is giving you a new relationship, offering you a new relationship. Do you want to believe? If you believe, you enter into the kingdom. You enter into a new relationship with God. And people thought, wow, that is a foolishness. Greek philosophers thought that was a foolishness. Jews thought that was a stumbling block. But those of us who have believed, it has become a power of God. But communication has to take place. You know, some people even talk about contextualization. If you go to Morocco, you just have a long robe, walk around like the people of Morocco, but you share gospel. It's fine. But these are all methods. You should not confuse methods with the message. And we will have several discussions maybe the next week. The third part of evangelism is this: persuasion to respond. You persuade people to respond. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul says, I'm constrained. I'm constrained by the love of Christ. Why did Paul go from Antioch to Asia Minor? From Asia Minor to the West. And he had shipwrecks. He had several difficulties. He was persecuted. You know why? He was constrained by the love of Christ. Even today, you know, that should be our motivation to persuade other people. Sometime I used to think, you know, before we went around, before we started the church here, we used to go and conduct meetings on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Sometimes two meetings. We would finish one meeting about 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, then go and start another meeting at 7:30 to 9 o'clock. Most of the time, we had to spend money for gas and a lot of time, we have to bear all the inconveniences. Some people may say, oh, you are the full-time minister. You are supposed to come and conduct meetings. You are a pastor, so you have to come and take care of funerals. We would go and do it. We spend money and we spend time, even though we are full-time ministers. If you were to ask, why are you doing it? We should be able to say that we are constrained by the love of Christ. We are doing all these things to persuade people to respond to the gospel. You know, you can travel from one place to another. You can bear all the inconveniences if you are going to share the gospel. Not just hosting some meetings, not just offering some food or invitation to some meetings. So let me just recap here what I discussed. Evangelism is going to be part of our life. As much as we exalt and edify, we are going to evangelize. But evangelism has three steps. One is a thorough knowledge about the gospel. We are not going to use a scare tactics when we share gospel with people, talk about hell and heaven, although they are part of the gospel. Primarily, we will tell them that God is offering them a new relationship through Jesus Christ, which is activated by the Holy Spirit. The second one is the communication. We will use different methods to communicate, but we will never confuse our message to the method. We will never confuse message and method. Holy Spirit is going to be the communicator, and we become medium of communication. But when we communicate the gospel to people very clearly, we will persuade them. Ask them, are you willing to accept? If they say yes, then we will take them to the next step. If they say no, it's fine. It is up to them. But if they say, we will wait, we will let you know, then we will just prayerfully wait for their response. As a takeaway, I'd like to show you something here. You know, every week when we preach, we always give one or two takeaways. A lot of time, we use evangelistic technique. And we know the message is, it's objective. But we will use different techniques. And people may have only 10 minutes or 7 minutes. But we can still share the gospel. It's so simple. God is offering you a new relationship through Jesus Christ. If you believe that, you can enter into the kingdom of God. But how are we going to do it? This is called Evangicube. This is so big, humongous, you cannot take it with you in your bag. But there is a small Evangicube. Small one. You can use it. Very powerful. We used this one to share gospel on the last day of VBS. You know, this is the first phase. There is a number here. So it's very simple. Anyone can do it, even in school. You see here light. God is light. And most religious people know that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. But this is human being, we are in dark. Our activities are, kind of in darkness. We don't love, we fight, and we have a lot of greeds, and we use cuss words. We do a lot of things which have no relationship with the light here. That is why you see there is a gap in this place. You know, man is not able to relate to God. Then you go to number two. You know, I need to put my glass on. Yeah, number two here is God here. See, this God who wants to make a relationship with you. You can never go there because you are in dark. Unless He comes and makes a relationship with you, you'll never be able to do it. A lot of us are trying to do this one. We want to become legalistic. We want to say, I want to observe certain things. I want to give and I want to climb on mountains. I want to go to a far place to get a relationship with God. Whatever we do, we will not be able to do it unless He takes an initiative. So God sent our Lord Jesus Christ to this world. You know why? To develop a relationship with us. That is the gospel. But this Jesus came to this world as a human being, like you and me. And He went around and preached about what God was offering to people. He offered kingdom to prostitutes, to tax collectors, to sinners, people who were not religious. A lot of them believed and they entered into kingdom. But several people, the whole world, rejected Him. And they crucified Him on the cross. You know, what the Jesus did was, He paid the penalty that you and me had to pay. Jesus Christ paid on the cross. And they buried him. You know, Jesus Christ here died as a substitution. In the place you and me have to die, he died. And the place where you and me have to shed blood, he shed blood. That is why we call this one a substitutionary death. He died in our place. And he was buried here. And they put Jesus in a tomb and sealed that tomb with the Roman seal. But on the third day, Jesus rose again. Amazingly, the tomb did not hold Jesus back. Normally, people die and they bury, they are in the grave. There is no one except our Lord Jesus Christ who came back to life. Jesus came back to life. Tomb could not hold him back. He came out as a resurrected Lord. And as a result of his resurrection, there is a new way open for us. See, here we are, and here God is, and God offered a new relationship through Jesus Christ. That is the cross we see. You can just go to God. You know, you don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to just tremble before God, because God is light and he understands everything that we do. But because of this, he became our Father. A new relationship is developed. And I don't need to just wait for a particular day in a particular in every year, or a particular month and a particular day in a year. But I can relate to him day and night, you know, 24/7 through Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, if you want to come to the Father, there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel I was talking about. We are not going to use a scare tactics to tell people you will go to hell. That is the gospel, or you know, your sins are forgiven. That's all, they're all part of it. But this is the relationship. Here is, you know, here is Jesus. And here we are. We are pulled over to God, the light. And a new relationship is established. And I think you can tell here one more thing. Anyway, you can use this. In 7 minutes, you can share the gospel. Or 5 minutes, you can share the gospel. You can just ask permission to your friends and say, could I share with you something? And they'll say, yes. What do you want to share? Something like an insurance agent having two papers. And they just have a graph of a company that performed for 28 years. They will just show the graph and they say, okay, buy this, what I'm selling. And they convince you. Similarly, you learn to convince your friends when you call them for dinner. You know why you have to do? Because love of God constrains you. You know you have a relationship with God. How can you keep quiet when you have a wonderful relationship with your friend who does not have a relationship with God? So you learn the technique of sharing gospel. There are three things: knowledge of the gospel, communication of the gospel, persuasion of the gospel. Okay? There is one more thing I have recently got. This is sold by Next Ministries. If you want, I can get this for you, as many pieces as you want. It's so good. You can use this as a car chain, you know, car keychain. You have light. God is so beautiful. You know, in God there is no darkness at all. There is light and so beautiful. And when God created man and woman, they had a great relationship with this light, this God. See here? There is no problem. But because of their disobedience, they left the presence of God. There is a gate here, and they were sent out, and they could not have any relationship with God. And people all over the world try to please God by doing certain things, religious activities, but they are not able to reach God. You know, they are suffering. It's almost like a hellish experience. But, you know, you see here, Whatever they do, there is a gap between God and human being. You are here and God is here. There is a gap or a gorge. You can never bridge that one to go to the other place. And God wanted to make a relationship. That is the gospel here. God coming down. And He wanted to make a relationship here by sending our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this world as a fulfillment. That is why He said, the time has come. Kingdom of God is at hand. Come and relate to me. In a sense, repent and accept the kingdom of God. People rejected. Rejected to the extent of killing Him on the cross. But He rose again on the third day from the grave. And as a result of that, you know, you are able to enter into the presence of God here. A new relationship is established. And you can ask them, this is what I believe. And I believe that I have a relationship with God. Would you like to try this? Never finish your gospel presentation without giving them an opportunity. It's something like, would you like to do it? Would you like to receive it? And they will say yes, no, or we will think about it. But you put the ball in their court. You can keep quiet. But this is what Mordecai told Esther. If you keep quiet, salvation will come from somewhere else. Fine, you know, we will see them in the heaven, you know, in God's presence. The problem is, we lose the opportunity to lead these people to Christ. You know, I have had unique opportunities to lead people to Christ. You know, when I think of that experience, it is amazing, a bliss. Because you are dragging people from their darkness to light. And I don't mind spending money. I don't mind sacrificing my Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't mind driving from here to San Jose, California to just share about this gospel. It is not about all that we do. It is not about, you know, giving money, or it is not about sins are forgiven. It is something very, very special, a relationship with God. That is why it is a good news. It has to be announced. We have to announce it. Euangelizo. That means I announce. You know, you may be praying for your friends. You know, I prayed for my family for 20 years. My mother became a believer 7 years after I became a believer. You know, my only desire was to see all my family members having a wonderful relationship in this world with God. And the future world, they will have continued relationship with God. So my mother, who was involved in extreme superstition, extreme idol worship, she became a believer. And last year, my immediately older brother, Shekhar, and his wife, Asha, and two of their children, they were all baptized. And I was so happy because they established a relationship, or God established a relationship with them. And, you know, they don't need to be in superstition. They don't need to travel all the way to a particular place to see God, to please God. But they can just have a continued wonderful relationship with God. You may have your relative, your son, daughter, your brother, your husband, your wife, or your colleague. One person you may have. Think about them. We are going to pray, but 20 seconds, we'll just pass before the Lord. Think about this gospel. You know, gospel cannot be kept secret. And we cannot even take it, we cannot even assume that other people understand through our good deeds or giving them some dinner. We have to speak to them. But when we speak, in a supernatural way, Holy Spirit of God acts in their heart and faith is activated. That is why Paul says in Romans 10. Does anyone remember that? How can a person be saved unless it is announced? unless, how can a person announce unless he's sent? The same way, how can your brother, your sister, your spouse, your colleague be saved unless you announce? You can become unpopular. It may be inconvenient. You may look foolish because the world is rational. But it's all right. If you help them make a wonderful relationship with God, that's great. We'll pray for them right now. You just, we'll take 20 seconds to pray for our loved ones, our friends. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for the relationship you have offered to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, which is activated by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you have given us this good news to be announced to our friends and families and to the world. We pray that you will teach us about the gospel and how we can communicate and how we can lead our friends and families to this wonderful gospel and have them make a relationship with you. We pray for all those people who just we thought about in our hearts. May they be found in you, in a relationship with you, Lord. We thank you, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for our church. You have placed us in a strategic place. Lord, with our ability and with our strength, we cannot even scratch the surface. Lord, our desire is not to have too many people coming to the church, but our desire is that all these brothers and sisters living around us will have a good relationship with you, Lord. And they will be able to call you Abba Father, just as we call you Abba Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.